It's Eyes on the Game with Helen Yee, the only female sports host in Las Vegas. Go online to HelenMYee.com and follow on Twitter at Helen Yee Sports on NBC Sports 920 The Game.
Always glad to be back. It's a very nice Tuesday. Not going to lie, I'm extremely tired today. Probably going to sleep for a good 30 hours after. So after covering Summer League and the Lakers game tonight, Lakers versus Knicks, I'm probably going to take a good 30-hour nap. So I will see everyone Thursday. Bobby's shaking his head. Or, no, you're nodding. You're agreeing. See, Bobby's on the same page as me. He understands.
Not really. Actually, I got this guy in this week. George Sedano from ESPN LA is using the Fox studio to do his show. And he comes on at 6 o'clock in the morning, which means I have to be in.
6 a.m.?
Yep. He does the morning show over at ESPN LA, and I have to be in here at 5 o'clock to get him all hooked up and connected with ESPN LA, which means I got to get up somewhere around 3:30, 4 o'clock to be able to be here by 5 o'clock.
And what time do you sleep?
Good question. I have no idea at this point.
Wow,
Bobby. I basically am taking like little 2-3 hour cat naps here and there. So
cat naps are amazing, though. That is a fact.
It's a lie.
To me, it works.
Dude, I need about 15 hours of sleep and a box of Wheaties right now. I need meat. Other than that, I'm just, dude.
But you are freaking awesome, though. You do such a great job.
And I appreciate that greatly, but I really hope you're going to talk MMA for about 60 minutes today.
You know what? Actually, the funny thing was LeBron. I'm just kidding. No, I was excited
to
come in
today. You got an amazing sense of humor.
No, I don't. I was just excited to come in today because I was thinking, I was like, you know what? Today may be the only day where I'm not going to talk about LeBron.
Yeah. Well, you just blew that one. 2 minutes and 26 seconds into it. Way to go.
No, that was a joke. Like, I was serious. I'm not going to talk about LeBron today.
Uh-huh.
Seriously.
Uh-huh.
No, there's a lot that happened in the world of MMA. I think I did about 18 interviews last week.
Yeah, it looks that way on your page.
Yeah, I did.
Very impressive.
So
Very
many.
Nice. Good job.
Thank you. Well, so many interviews. So needless to say, I am a bit tired, but no excuse, you know, I'm here, I'm happy. Good fight week though, literally. I've been working the fight since Monday, so I haven't really had like, a day to not think about fights yet. So anyway, big week. Obviously, the Ultimate Fighter 27 finale that went down on Friday, Israel Adesanya. I have his post-fight media scrum up on lvsportsnetwork.com, and he looked really good against a extremely tough Brad Tavares, who is a Las Vegas local. Right now trains out of Extreme Couture, and I have to take my hats off to Brad because, I mean, he got hit with some hard shots and he was still fighting, and when probably a lot of guys would have, you know, found a way to tap out or to quit, like there was no quit in him despite the dominant performance by Israel. But, I mean, Israel looks really good. I'm excited to see what's next for him. And, of course, UFC 226. So, a lot of shockers that day. And what was interesting, though, is actually, well, later on in the show, we'll be playing an interview with BJ Penn because so before this, of course, we all know, and I admit it, when I made my prediction, I thought Stipe was going to win. I knew Cormier is really good and hits really hard and, of course, loves to wrestle, but I was wrong. And hats off, congratulations to Daniel Cormier, who's right now 2 two-division world champion, the heavyweight champ and light heavyweight champ. But I did not expect him to knock out Stipe in the first round. Yeah. And before that, though, you know, Stipe had defended his title, the heavyweight title. It's never been defended consecutively more than two times, and Stipe defended it three times. So there was a lot of discussion or debate. Is he the greatest of all time as far as heavyweight champion? So I decided to ask another great champion in BJ Penn, and you won't believe what he said. And he actually, I know I didn't really think that fast that day, where I should have asked him who he thought was the best. But I think if you listen to the interview, you can kind of assume in a way, even though I'm not one to really love making assumptions, but you could probably assume who he thinks is the greatest heavyweight champion and what Stipe needed to do or have done to be considered the greatest. But I mean, of course, now it's Daniel Cormier since he beat him. And then what was kind of not bizarre, but it was there was kind of writings on the wall, you know, with Brock Lesnar, because at first, leading up to that fight, it was the John Jones, is he coming back to fight Brock Lesnar? And then Brock Lesnar, Daniel Cormier calls him out in the ring or in the octagon, and they literally go at it, and Brock shoves him really hard, like way harder than Derek Lewis shoved Francis Ngannou at the weigh-ins. But yeah, so that was interesting. So it looks like they're fighting soon, and I know that Cormier's retirement date, I believe it's March 2019. So he wants to defend the light heavyweight title, because Brock, I don't think he can come back till December, but most likely, and Dana White confirmed it in the presser after, that that fight will be happening. And I'm kind of curious to see what happens with John Jones. And someone did ask me to kind of break down Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Cormier. And honestly, okay, if it was kind of like the Brock Lesnar of, I don't know, years ago, and, you know, if he was able to take PEDs or whatever, then I'd be like, you know what, it would probably be a much more competitive fight. But honestly, I see Cormier winning easily. Okay, and the way that Cormier dominated Stipe, even though I know in their fight at first Stipe controlled it, he looks really good until he kind of went in and grabbed him. But as quickly as Cormier knocked him out, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he stops Brock Lesnar even quicker. And I know everyone says, well, Lesnar, you know, was a wrestler, and what makes it interesting is they have their history, which, by the way, you can check out all the post-fight press conferences up on lvsportsnetwork.com. But I don't see it being competitive, and in a way, I wish it was competitive. Who knows? You know, the beauty of the fight game is you never know. Just like I doubt a lot of people, even people that probably thought DC was going to win, I doubt they thought he was going to win the way that he ended up winning, and in the first round. But yeah, so Brock Lesnar, I think DC wins easily. I think literally the only fighter that can beat Daniel Cormier is John Jones. Like, seriously, I don't see anyone else being able to possess a threat to him or give him much of a challenge. And in a way, even though people may say, well, John Jones, you know, he got busted for drugs, or, you know, DC likes to bring that up. Regardless, though, that kind of shows you how great that John Jones is. And I think that it'll be an easy win for DC. But I am hoping, and I would say I'm secretly hoping, but clearly it's not a secret anymore since I'm saying it on air, but I hope that DC and Jones just fights one more time, please. I need to see it just one more time. Derek Lewis, Francis Ngannou. So their fight, simply put, a lot of people in the arena just took out their cell phone lights and started waving it as if they were at a, what type of concerts do they wave their lights? Where you wave it slowly.
Pretty much all of them.
Yeah, but I mean, isn't it for slow songs?
You're thinking of Bray Wyatt from WWE.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I thought of you when they did that. But I'm saying, you know, when they wave it like this back and forth really slowly, don't they usually only do it to slow songs at concerts? Or you, Bobby, you go to more concerts than me.
Yeah, but I don't go to concerts where they play slow music. So I
couldn't tell you. Oh, that is true.
Yeah.
They don't do it at Metallica ones?
No, I don't know. I haven't seen Metallica in a long time. Maybe
Guns
they
and
do
Roses?
Now. I have no idea. Not that I remember a whole lot.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Most pop videos, they probably do that sort of thing. You know, places where they have tie-ins with T-Mobile advertising and whatnot. I could see that sort of thing.
Yeah, so anyway, that kind of, yeah, that describes their fight, if you know what I'm saying.
No, I have no idea what you're saying. How's that got to do with it?
No, I don't know how many punches were thrown the entire fight. 20 total? 10 total? 5?
Per fight?
The entire fight during the whole.
10 punches.
If that.
My old lady
Francis
used to throw 10 punches on my ass when I didn't get home for dinner in time. What are you talking about?
No, I'm serious. I would ask you to watch the fight, Bobby, but you'd be like, hey, when's it starting? No, but here's the thing, though. Much respect to both guys, because I do know Derek Lewis and his team told me the back problems that he had leading in. And I know Derek Lewis was trying to engage, and he did throw some kicks and punches, and I know his back was giving him problems. But Francis, you know, he has so much potential. He's such a great fighter. We saw all his fights, you know, knocking people out left and right, never going beyond the second round up until fighting Stipe Miocic. And I don't know if it's like his confidence or his ego, but, you know, it kind of shows you like how important your mind is. And when it comes to sports, so much of it is a mental game. So, I hope to see Francis come back and start knocking people out again. You know, I hope mentally, you know, he gets that strength and that confidence back. And I hope Derek Lewis is back, you know, heals up. But I know I interviewed Curtis Blaydes, and, you know, he's up there in the rankings on who to fight for the title next. And I know he's a bit unhappy with how Lesnar is getting that title opportunity. But let me know what you think. You can always tweet me at Helen Yee Sports. And then for the rest of the main card, Mike Perry defeated Paul Felder by split decision. Anthony Pettis, Showtime's back. He submitted Michael Chiesa, second round. And Khalil Roundtree knocks out Gokhan Saki in the first round. So, yeah, a lot of great fights, you know, minus kind of like the Lewis and Ngannou. But, I mean, let's think, like, first off, props to them. You know, anyone who can step into an octagon, because I can't. Like, even when I took boxing lessons and people told me, my coach was like, Helen, you know, you're going to spar this guy or, you know, just hit him. And I felt bad. You know, I was like, I cannot hit anybody. Lover, not a fighter. You know?
Boxing is not your sport, then.
No.
If you feel bad, you hit somebody. Yeah, that no. Sorry.
No, yeah.
Try again. No, yeah, basketball.
I can't even kill a bug, okay? So, but you know, both guys, they have so much power, and I know they respect each other's power. So, yeah. So, good fights, though, nonetheless. Again, you can always check it out on LVSportsNetwork.com. I'm going to head to a quick break. When I get back, I will be playing my interview with BJ Penn, the legend, the Hall of Famer, who tells me what he thought. So this was prior to the fight, during the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, which congratulations to the first woman being inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame, Ronda Rousey. So I'll be playing my interview with BJ Penn. So stay tuned. You're listening to Eyes on the Game.
Now back to Eyes on the Game with Helen Yee, the only female sports host in Las Vegas. Go online to HelenMYee.com and follow on Twitter at Helen Yee Sports on NBC Sports 920 The Game.
What's going on, everyone? So last week during the UFC Hall of Fame induction ceremony, before on the red carpet, I did interview BJ Penn. So here's my interview with him, where he tells me why he doesn't think Stipe Miocic was the greatest heavyweight. Helen Yee here with the legend and Hall of Famer, BJ Penn. Now, great to see you here. Last time I saw you at your gym in California. So first off, how does it feel to be here, you know, for International Fight Week?
I'm excited to be here. Good to see all the UFC fans. Good to see how the UFC's growing. And, yeah, having a good time.
Now, I just spoke to your coach, Jason Perillo, and he told me that you drove out from his house this morning. Why didn't you bring him? Where is he?
I told him to come, and I told him, I was like, hey, you don't gotta work this show. Just chill out, hang out, cruise at the hot tub, whatever. And I don't know, he didn't show up, so we'll see if he shows up tomorrow.
First off, UFC Hall of Fame, the inductions are tonight. Matt, Sarah, I know you've been asked this, but I have to get your thoughts on him being inducted.
Yes, very proud of Matt. It's great to be standing up there with him on the pedestal, and he's actually a great friend of mine. You know, he's got the greatest knockout of all time against George St. Pierre. No one else could do it. And he's, what else did Matt do? I mean, he's done it all. He's been here the whole time, and great jiu-jitsu black belt. So we got that in common, and we're just good friends. Yeah.
And what about the big card this weekend and the super fight between Stipe and DC?
What a great fight. That's why I'm here today. And I'm excited. I don't know what to think about it. I'm just like, I know DC's such a great wrestler. Stipe's a good wrestler. Stipe's bigger. DC's not a joke. I don't know. It's going to be good.
But what do you think about, you know, everyone saying now that Stipe has the record, the heavyweight record for the most consecutive title defenses. So what do you make of that? And do you think he is the greatest heavyweight?
You know what? Stipe, I got a lot of respect for him, and he could be the greatest heavyweight. Not yet, in a little bit, though, but I'm not going to count him out in any way. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of Stipe. I think one day Stipe wins this weekend. I mean, he's pretty damn close.
So what would make him the greatest?
Just keep beating everybody for the next 10 years.
Being the former UFC lightweight champion, what do you think of the lightweight division currently?
I think they got a strong champion in Khabib. And, I think about it and I think, man, I wish I was 25 years old. That's what I think about the lightweight division currently.
Yeah, still competitive, but what about Conor?
Oh, of course, you know, okay, so Conor, Khabib, and those are the two guys. They gotta get it done, and then we're gonna see who rules the lightweight class after that.
Now, who do you think would win?
Everybody's saying Khabib could beat him easy with the wrestling. Ally Aquinta did pretty good against Khabib. Maybe people are looking at Khabib's stand-up now, like, oh, maybe we can capitalize on some of that stuff. But I'm sure Khabib's stand-up is very effective. It just probably doesn't look pretty, but I'm sure it's very effective. And, I'm sure Conor probably saw some stuff. So they got to be thinking, can they make Conor be able to survive on the ground with Khabib long enough to be able to punch him. I'm sure that's their game plan.
So that was BJ Penn. Let me know what you think. And then also later on in the show, I will be playing the Miesha Tate interview. So stay tuned for that. I mean, that one, man, it's getting a lot of hits on YouTube. Like, yeah. So
it must be good then.
Yeah. I mean, Miesha's beautiful, very smart, intelligent. But the only
I saw her a couple of weeks ago. She was very pregnant.
Yeah, now she gave birth.
Oh, she already did. What'd she have?
A girl.
Ah, what'd you name it?
It's Amaya.
Nobody names a kid Sue or Jim anymore. God, Sue or Jim.
Oh, Sue.
You know, those old white bread names from my
era. Oh, yeah, Sue. Yeah, that is totally. Same with Jim.
Yeah, nobody
Hey, what's up, Jimmy? Uncle Jimmy.
Right, exactly. You know.
And
now,
Jimmy's always preferred to be called Jim.
I got grandkids. I can't even spell their freaking names. I just, Hosea and Navia and Marlo and Arden. And I'm like, what?
They're creative.
What bleeping Lord of the Rings book did you pull that one out of? You couldn't have named her Agnes. We haven't had an Agnes in generations. Come on.
An Agnes? What?
Yeah.
Is that a girl's name?
Yeah. My great-great-grandmother was named Agnes. It's like, when's the last time you heard of a Bertha? Nobody names a kid Bertha anymore.
But.
Some of y'all should be naming your kids Bertha when the big fat kids coming out. Come on. I'm just telling you, you know.
Yeah, Bertha, no thanks.
Yeah, and now it's all, I mean, a common name is what? They named the kid Alexa, so they call Alexa, and two kids answer, and the freaking little thing on the desk goes,
or
yes.
Or Alex, right?
Not as many Alexes. I know a couple of Alexandrias, but they were both strippers.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they were.
What was their, okay, I'm not going to
ask. No, those were their dancer names. I wouldn't tell you.
Oh, that
names.
Was their,
that's
oh.
Not, that's not right.
I thought that was
I also know lots of dancers named after cars.
What?
A lot of dancers out there named after cars.
Porsche,
Mercedes, Jaguar. I'm looking for the stripper that's named Toyota. Find me one named Toyota. Find me two named Toyota, as a matter of fact. I can do some
stuff.
What
about Ford?
No. They're going for exotic names. You're just missing this joke altogether,
Lexus.
Are you? Well, yeah, that's been overdone, too. Every single club in town's got at least one Lexus.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
Sorry, totally. I don't go to strip clubs.
I don't blame you. I mean, I haven't been in years. I don't have that kind of money anymore. But, it's like back in the 80s when you used to walk behind, like, a pack of hot, sexy-looking chicks, and you go, "Hey, Lisa!" And at least one head was going to turn around every single time, especially in my neighborhood. Actually, if you just yelled Tony or Maria, you'd get at least two heads to turn around every single time.
Well, I'm starting to feel slightly uncomfortable here. I feel like my ears, I need to wash my ears out.
God, I haven't dropped a single F-bomb yet.
You're talking about strip clubs.
Yeah, we used to advertise strip clubs, dear. We used to do remotes at strip clubs.
I know. Hey, nothing wrong with that.
I had a great time. Spearman Rhino was one of my favorites. Especially, and the old tender trap over on Flamingo. That was
Tender trap?
Yeah, what do they call it now? Club Platinum or something like that, but. That place was a dive then. It's a dive now, but God, there's some great girls in there.
Okay, so we're going to head to a quick break. When we get back,
Cheetah's back when it was running, but yeah. No.
Yeah, Cheetah's used to be decent, right?
Cheetah's, I liked Cheetah's when I first got here. I mean, I know they fixed it up. I haven't been in there in a little while, but I know Huff does this thing over there on Fridays with Comp. I really should get over there one of these days. Free beer.
Free beer.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've been trying to get me out to these remotes for years. I should have if I show up.
Yeah,
I've got at least two free beers going.
Why aren't you at those remotes? That is like up your alley.
Because I hate people. Remember?
But you like exotic dancers.
You could say strippers. It's okay. Yeah, of course I do.
Yeah, but
big or tall, I love them all. What seems to be the problem here?
So why aren't you at those remotes?
Well, it's kind of, free beer, lose my paycheck, end up with some chick on my couch for 3 days.
Okay. I understand. Understood. Say no more. Okay, can I head to a quick break when I get back?
We should probably hold on for a couple minutes because we got your guest calling in about a minute, don't we?
We
only
do.
Have one break left, so we should probably hang on.
Okay, let me see if they are calling in.
Okay. Meanwhile, do you remember the Olympic Garden? Olympic Garden was a pretty decent club. I really enjoyed that place. That was back when I was working at Sportsman. That we brought there was a bunch of us that worked there, and we brought the intern, who was this cute little 21-year-old thing. And on her last day, we brought her to Olympic Garden and just got her completely wasted. And this is a great story of me not always being the last one in line to know everything. I am always the last person to get all the freaking news. Apparently, one of the guys that worked there had a crush on her, and I didn't know. And I keep buying her lap dances, right? So by about the eighth dance, this guy is looking at me like he wants to bleep and kill me. It's amazing. 5:30 in the morning, we're finally crawling out of the place. He looks at me and he goes, "You know I've been dating her, right?" I'm like, "I had no idea, but she had a great time." Hey, I gotta answer the phone. Could you talk for a moment?
Yeah. Okay. I don't even know how I can follow up with that type of conversation. Clearly, my stuff's not as fun to talk about.
Oh, it can be.
Yeah. So, I don't even know. Bobby caught me off guard.
I was just babbling while you were looking at your phone. I'm waiting for the phone to ring again.
Okay. Well, I did text my guests.
Oh, cool.
Oh, I got a finger tattoo.
Did you really? Let's see.
Oh, I did not. You're the first person I really showed.
That's neat. When did you get that?
I got that 2 days ago.
Oh, no kid. I would think it would hurt, but no, apparently it's not so
actually,
bad.
Actually, huh? I love the pain of tattoos.
Uh-oh.
I do.
What? Here we go.
And I have one on this finger.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that one before.
Yeah,
that's
but
cute.
I've had that one.
And you have the other thing on the arm that, and this
that,
and
that.
That. That's scary.
And that.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah. But it's
you
cool,
never heard
huh?
of, you never heard of ink fever, have you?
Of course I have. Actually,
oh, okay,
fun
good,
fact.
Good, good.
Probably not many people know about me, like, about this. But, I mean, aside from, you know, when I was younger in middle school, I was kind of like the outcast, quote unquote, hung out with the outcasts, you know, the mosh pit stuff. Listen.
The bad kid. This is when you had your bad kid era, huh?
Yeah, but I was always straight edge. Never drank, never smoked, never did drugs or anything. Like, straight edge, like, but and at one point I did bleach my hair platinum blonde.
Oh, Christ. Tell me there's a picture of that someplace.
Yes, I will find it for you.
You got to put that thing up on the web.
And if I was not a sports reporter, I would actually have my whole forearm covered in tattoos. Like, I wanted to sleep. But why I went through 4 sessions to get the inside of it removed. But I love it. I never wanted it removed. I don't regret a single tattoo I have.
No,
because
of course
there's
not.
All
no,
me.
You shouldn't. I mean, if you're going to regret the tattoo, you shouldn't have got the damn thing in the first place.
Yeah, well, the other day I went to the store and this guy was asking me about tattoo removals because he could tell that I probably got this one removed. But I told him, you know, I don't regret it. There's like, I literally sit and think about it for 6 months to a year on a specific tattoo before I ever get it done.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, they all have meaning behind it. But he was telling me that he wants a lot of his removed because he got them when he was like 18 or 19. And I asked him, hey, how old are you now? And he said 24. And I'm like, oh, uh-huh. Wow. But I mean, so
well, okay, that I suppose that makes a little sense, sort of. I mean, it's the guys that get to be 50, 60, 70, they say they want to get tattoos or get them removed. That I just kind of, what's the point? You're going to be dead in 20 years. Just leave the damn thing alone, but whatever.
No, but yeah, I mean, so I love tattoos, and yeah, I'd have sleeves if I could. I used to have my nose pierced.
I got to tell you, you know, I got tats, all right? I got about a half a dozen.
I would have a lip piercing if I could.
Tongue piercing?
Not tongue, that would hurt probably.
I'm just seeing how far we can take you on this one.
Yeah, no.
You know, I like tattoos. Get your buddy to call back, by the way. I'm running out of stuff to say here. Yeah, I like tattoos okay. I don't know what the hell he is. I like tattoos okay, but the thing is, I just the whole thing in the past 10 years has just gone so overboard. Yeah, I'm in my old middle-aged suburban white guy opinion. I see girls out there now that have got like sleeves and just all these things. And I just look, and I just, the only thing that runs through my head is what's the matter? Would mommy and daddy not let you play with the Sharpies when you were a kid? What are you doing here? Yeah. I mean, I just, and that's me. All right. I'm, like I said, old middle-aged suburban white guy, whatever. I don't know. But I get a couple of, I got a half a dozen tats, whatever. I got the old Popeye the Sailor kind of tats, so to speak. But I can't see it. You know, some of them, I mean, a couple of them, my daughter's got like this little Tinkerbell, like, you know, the Disney character or whatever. She's got that, and that's cool. It's not huge or anything. But I mean, some of them just, some people, I mean, they just, and the stuff on the chest, I just look and go, you know, you do know about gravity, right, hon? You know, I mean, the stuff's going to sink, and you're going to look real, real funny in about when you turn 55. You know, I mean, maybe you don't want to kind of put them there or something, but I don't know. It's just me. Jesus, you know, just some, and now I'm seeing people that are getting tattoos, just women that are getting tattoos all over the front of them and their stomachs and the groinal area and such. And I'm just, you know, I mean, some of the groinal tattoos are pretty, it's just really.
Wait, what?
Some of the groinal tattoos are kind of, you know, like I saw this chick.
Are we really having this conversation?
Apparently, I'm having this conversation because I'm all by myself out here. So, anyway, I saw this one girl that she had this little kind of picture of a cat. Now, that looked okay. But I've seen people that it's like the mouth of a dragon and such things. I'm like, Jesus, what makes you think in any kind of situation I'm going near that? Come on. I mean, really, you know. I saw a guy that got his junk tattooed once. I thought that was the funniest damn thing I ever saw.
We're going to head to a break. It doesn't look like the guests will be calling.
Okay, let's go to
break. So when I get back, I will have more MMA interviews. And I'm sorry. Like, actually, you're probably entertained by Bobby. So you're welcome.
I got nothing else.
The funny thing is, Bobby actually sounds very happy talking about this and strip clubs. So good to know. This Tuesday woke me up for sure.
Oh, so, you didn't know this before. Come on. What do I look like, the Virgin Mary over here? Come on.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Bobby, he does look like the Virgin. No. I'm just kidding. Okay, so we're going to do a quick break. You can always tweet me at Helen Yee Sports, and we'll be back after these messages.
Now back to Eyes on the Game with Helen Yee, the only female sports host in Las Vegas. Go online to HelenMYee.com and follow on Twitter at Helen Yee Sports on NBC Sports 920 The Game.
What's going on, everyone? So last week I did get a chance to speak to Misha Tate. So here's my interview with her. And don't forget, this is before UFC 226. So she kind of breaks it down too.
Here with Eyes on the Game here at the Fighters Only World MMA Awards, being joined by the lovely, the talented, the beautiful Miss Misha Tate. Always great to see you, and congratulations. Your daughter was just born, right? Like a week ago or 2 weeks?
She's a month actually today.
Oh,
yeah, it goes by, you're telling me, it's going by so quick. Everyone says it goes by fast, but it's unbelievable. She's already like so different than the day that she was born, but we're loving it. You know, she's amazing, and every day there's new growth and she does new cute things, and her smile just makes my whole day.
And how has life been now, you know, being a mother?
Well, it's a bit more work, to be honest, but I love it. You know, it's just the most rewarding thing that I've ever done, and it just requires me to actually be more consistent about my schedule. You know, like before I would kind of like wait till the last minute. Like, I can't do that now because everything takes me way longer. She wakes up and wants to eat. It's like, I got to drop everything. So now I really have to like plan. It's probably good for me. It's probably good for me to like have to dial it back a little bit and slow down and be a little bit more organized with things. So that's really what's changed at this point. Obviously, I'm still really new to being a mom, first time mommy, and she's just a month old. So I'm getting in the groove of things. And tonight is, you know, the first night that we've had out just as parents since we've had her. And so, you know, a bit anxious. I want to check my phone all the time and be like, is she okay? You know, and I miss her. But it's good for us. We're getting back in the groove of everything.
Well, I'm sure you are a great mother. But speaking of, you know, being here at the Fighters Only Awards, I mean, is there anything in particular you're looking forward to the most tonight?
getting back to my daughter. No,
yeah,
but
important.
Yeah, but no, beyond that, I'm looking forward to being here. And just for me, what it signifies is like coming back into myself again. You know, it's been a really long time since I've been able to participate in really anything mixed martial arts involved, and I haven't been able to train or anything like that. So it's fun. I'm going to present an award, and I'm just excited to kind of be out here with my people.
And being here at Fight Week, it is a big week, with the super fight, Stipe Miocic, Daniel Cormier. How do you see that fight going?
You know, everyone's probably going to call me crazy, but I think Daniel Cormier is going to get it done. I think that he has the ability to do this. You know, he's got the speed. He's got a better, you know, wrestling credential, you know, but like participating, like trying out for the Olympics twice, you know, and like his wrestling background and the speed and the fact he was went 13-0 as a heavyweight in his career. You know, people forget that.
He beat big guys.
He did. People forget that he trains with really, really big guys, and he's used to dealing with that weight. His style of wrestling allows him to do that. Well, if he can get a hold of someone, you know, and there's no speed discrepancy except that I think that Daniel's actually faster. You know, that's where I think he has trouble with John Jones, is because John is so quick.
Yes.
It's the speed, really. So I don't see that being as much of an issue in this fight. Obviously, I'll give the power to Stipe, but Stipe's got to touch him first, got to touch DC, and DC's going to move and be fast. And I think that Daniel Cormier has what it takes to get it done this week. So we'll see.
But I don't think you're crazy with that prediction, because I just interviewed Tito Ortiz, and he told me the same. He thinks that DC will win. But looking at the co-main event, another exciting title fight, and two young and hungry fighters in Max Holloway and Brian Ortega, what do you think of that fight?
That fight is crazy. It's really, really hard to bet against Max Holloway right now. I mean, he's just on another level and continues to elevate his game every single fight. So I think that Brian Ortega has his hands full in this fight. Every fighter has a chance, but I think that Brian Ortega is really young, and, you know, he's coming into his own, and he's had some great success, and I think he's going to have much more success in the future. I just don't think it's this fight. I think that Max Holloway is just too established, and he's got everything down. He's just going to be a step ahead, I think, this whole fight. But I think that Ortega is going to learn a lot, and I think it's going to help him elevate his game. And I think eventually down the road that they might meet again.
And you are a pioneer of this sport and in women's MMA. So, you know, kind of looking back, how do you think the growth of women's MMA has been so far? And, you know, has anything surprised you at all?
Well, I mean, it's grown tremendously. It's always exciting to see that. You know, I'm presenting an award for the females tonight, so I'm really excited. And I think it's going to just continue to grow. I know that the 135-pound division seems to be in a little bit of a lull right now, but that's what happens. You know, the divisions go through their ebb and flow. We saw it come to, like, a great head and was amazing. And then, you know, I retired, Ronda retired, some of the division kind of fizzled out a little bit, thinned out a little, but that just opens the door for new talent to come in. And, you know, eventually we are going to see that, and the division will flourish again. It's just a little, you know, a little patience. People just got to remember to stay patient with it a little bit.
Yes. And then, and now also with the flyweight division growing and the featherweight division, do you think that anyone possesses a big challenge or would possess a big challenge to Chris Cyborg, though?
Yeah, I think that Amanda could. I think, yeah, Amanda Nunes could do it, because she hits so hard for her division. I mean, it's really unreal the power that that woman has. And she's very long. She's deceptively rangy. She uses her range well. She's got the, you know, the judo, and she's good on the ground. So, yes, she is a smaller woman, but she's very fast, and she's extremely powerful. You know, I don't know if there's anybody that has been able to hit Cyborg with the power that Amanda possesses. So it's interesting. I think at least it makes an interesting fight.
Yeah, like you said, it would be a great fight. Hopefully that does happen soon. And lastly, though, a bit earlier you did kind of mention Ronda Rousey. I know she is being inducted into the Hall of Fame. I know you guys have had your rivalries, but what do you think about her going in this Thursday?
Well, obviously she deserves it. You know, she did a ton for our sport, and she really carried a lot of it on her shoulders. So, you know, she definitely deserves a place in there. There's no doubt about that.
So that was Misha Tate. You can catch probably all the all my other interviews, the 15 other ones, on lvsportsnetwork.com. But I also got a chance to catch up with Claudia Gadella. But Also, you can always tweet me at Helen Yee Sports. I will be at Summer League tonight. The Lakers and the Knicks. And
really,
again,
who's playing?
Lakers and Knicks are playing tonight.
Who's playing before them?
Well, you know, it's a very busy day. The one I am covering is just Lakers and
Knicks. Yeah, I mean, that's obvious. But, I mean, the thing that's so cool about that event, though, is you get out there and it's like seven different – I know guys that just – they take the kids, they give them $40 a piece, they drop them off at the Thomas and Mack, and they just go to games all day long. And then he sends him a text picking you up.
Oh, that is true.
Picking you up in 20 minutes, be out front, and the kids are out there. They got the little signed ball, and, you know, like the players, even the younger player, they'll sit there and sign balls for the kids and whatnot. They come out with the autographed balls, and they've had a wonderful day, and it's only slightly more expensive than sending them to the movies.
So it's, no, that's true. And yesterday I went to the Warriors game, and there's a really good turnout. A lot of people.
Oh, yeah, that place is packed.
I felt short for once. I never feel short until
I'm a midget there all the
summer
time.
Summer League. Yeah, Hawks at Bulls, Kings at Grizzlies, and then the one I'm covering, Lakers at Knicks.
There's a couple of interesting matchups there, actually. That Hawks and Bulls is kind of interesting.
That is, yeah.
And the Hawks aren't. I mean, they've got some draft picks. They got some talent in there. So let's see what happens. And the Bulls, obviously, they're a public team, so you want to see where they go.
We're ready.
That's true. But so all NBA Summer League coverage will be there. But here is my interview with Claudia Gadella, who wants a rematch with Carla Esparza despite beating her, and she tells me why.
Helen Yee here with Eyes on the Game here at the UFC Hall of Fame induction on the red carpet, being joined by the lovely Claudia Gadella. Now, congratulations. We spoke before your fight against Carla Esparza. Congratulations on the win. How does it feel?
It feels good. I'm happy, you know, how the fight went, but not very happy about my knee. You know, I hurt my knee before the fight, and I only fought because of the PI, the UFC Performance Institute. You know, like the physical therapists out there, they are amazing, and they took really good care of me, and that's the only reason why I fought Carla, because I was supposed to pull out. My knee wasn't doing very good, but maybe we'll have a rematch very soon.
Yeah, well, speaking of that, though, how are you feeling now? You know, how's that recovery process with your knee?
I had surgery 2 weeks ago. I had surgery, like, the Wednesday after the fight. And I tore my meniscus and my LCL. So they took a little piece of my meniscus off, and now I'm just rehabbing, taking care of my knee. And they said in the next 2 weeks I'll be able to train and feel better.
So did they tell you when you'd be able to take another fight, or, you know, is there kind of like a time frame for you?
I want to fight soon, you know, and but I don't want to rush. I don't want to injure myself again. So I'm doing everything the PI, the PTs and the PI are telling me to do. I'm trying to do everything right. So I hope in the next 2 weeks I will be like 100% to do everything and start training hard again. I was thinking maybe in September we can do a rematch in Brazil if we have time.
Now, I mean, it seems like that rematch is on your mind, and that's what you want most. Why is that?
Not what I want. I don't think that would add anything to me right now, you know, because I already beat her. But she wanted it so bad, and the fight was very controversial. A lot of people were saying she won the fight, and I wasn't 100%. So I would like to fight her 100%.
And if not that rematch, is there anyone else in mind right now? Or, I mean, because it kind of seems like we're waiting to find out who Rose is fighting, right?
Yes, we're waiting to see who Rose is going to fight. And if I don't fight Carla now, I don't know what's going to happen. I want to keep busy. I want to fight again this year, you know, but depends on the division, you know. Depends what's going to happen in the division. I'm number 3. I'm right there to fight for the title again, and let's just wait and see.
Yeah. And lastly, again, last time we spoke before your fight against Carla, you were pretty new here to Las Vegas, but you loved it here. So is it, I mean, safe to say you will be a permanent resident here now?
I think so. I'm shopping for a house now. I'm very happy. Like, Las Vegas treat me very well, and I think Las Vegas is home now.
And you found the new fight camp.
Now I think it's like the future of MMA, you know, like it's everything about the fighter, less about the teams. You know, it's everything is concentrated on the fighters. And I train in the PI, I bring my coaches with me, and we concentrate in my opponent and on me in my fight, you know, like less about teams, less about all this stuff. It's very strategic and smart, and I like the way I do. The way I'm doing out, the PI is amazing, and I have everything to do what I love and what I think is right for me.
Tonight, Ronda Rousey will be inducted. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm very happy. She definitely deserves that. Ronda did a lot for WMMA, and I love her. She opened all the doors for us to come here and show how much hard work can pay off, you know, so I'm very excited to see her today.